Blog Talk Radio.
Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and we're here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your hosts this morning as we continue our journey to oneness. Yes, yes, yes. I love this book. And we're almost at the end. Today we're going to be moving into chapter 34. And we want to learn how to trust our inner guidance. That's what the topic is going to be on today. Hey, Dr. Reggie, how are you?
I believe that I'm not sleepy and fully awake. You know what happens? You get lulled. I love the statement, like a little baby. If a baby is quiet and still and warm and comfortable, what does it do? It goes right to sleep. And the baby's minds are always awake and aware. And this time, if I make deliberately with my intention to be focused and in the moment, I think that everything will be okay.
I'm sure that it will. I'm sure that it will. Dr. Reggie was sitting in front of the fireplace yesterday morning when I asked him to take us into the closing prayer. And that fire, he got warm, and he said he was snaring in the flames, and he was out, gone. So today he's has a chair that's a little bit more, not as relaxing and not in front of the fireplace. So he's with us. He's fully present. I love you, Dr. Reggie.
Oh, I love you too, Sam.
Love you very much. So let's go ahead and start with our morning prayers, please.
As we enter this brand new day, Father, we thank you for a terrific Tuesday. We're here standing on an emerging energy in a wonderful emerging time that scientists even declare as unusual and emerging. As we go through the vernal equinox and things are happening in space, affecting us on Earth, we know that you are in control, that you are in the divine plan. In fact, you planned it. Let us not worry about politics or who's straight or who's gay. Underneath, we're all souls, some more mentally challenged to one sexual energy than the other, but they're all creations of you. And what their decision is based on their own free will. Let us not choose to label their free will and choose to label their political affiliation or choose to label how much money they make. We are all souls created by you. Let us be like children and not judge. See other beautiful souls in the making as we transverse into the energy of oneness. We can't be one if we judge. We can't be one if we label. Let us go beyond the labels and beyond the judgments and transcend to a place of pure holiness in the garden of consciousness. Thank you, God, for loving us and letting us be. We don't pay attention to the polls. We pay attention to who we are as children of the Most High God. We believe it is so, and so it is.
Wow, and so it is. What a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much. And so it is. You know, there's a lot going on in this physical reality right now. We're faced with so much. We're bombarded so much with information, the internet, 24/7 television. My girlfriend brought to my awareness that when we were growing up, she said, how many television stations did you have when you were growing up? I said, three. She said, that's right. We had ABC, NBC, and CBS. And we could only watch cartoons on Saturday mornings. And television was off by 11 or 12 midnight. And nothing ever stops anymore. It's hard for us to even find time to stop the chatter in our minds, let alone all of the input that's coming. It doesn't stop. It's 24/7. And if you're working in corporate America now, most of those jobs are 24/7. People go to work. Before they get up in the morning, they're attached to their phones and looking at email, starting their day before they can even get in the shower. And then they're commuting to work and the phone is ringing and they're talking while they're driving and trying to read email while they're driving. And then they get to work and they work and then they come home and they're in front on their laptop or their it's just too much. It is just too much. So I'm saying all that to say that I'm glad you're here with me this morning as I'm giving you more input via the internet and telephone. But I hope that I am making you aware that you are creating your reality and that you can be in control of your reality and that you will begin to trust your inner guidance. Oneness captions this chapter with sourcing inner guidance. Sourcing, what does that mean? That you find the source within you? That you understand the source of your inner guidance? And then it talks about the crossroads as a gateway to the path within. So what we're going to talk about today is how we move from this illusion, because notice that these past few chapters have been focusing on the illusion, what's going on in our day-to-day life and how we get trapped in it. But when we really understand it from the place of source, from the place of our divinity, we begin to see this reality as a path to our divinity. So it shifts. And it moves us out of being the victim, and we begin to understand, oh, this is moving me into the awareness of my true essence. I love that shift. And the other thing that they want to talk about is how we can move from being dependent on others. So let's start with how they define wisdom. Wisdom is the elusive essence that has been sought by humankind since the very inception of the idea of your emergence into form. Wisdom is the single element that distinguishes what you have always been from what you have chosen to become. For the agreements that govern a choice to emerge as form with identity require that your knowledge of the nature of your own divine essence be relinquished. They're saying here that you agreed to come into physical form unaware of your divine essence. That's the number one thing that you have to agree to. And then the whole purpose of this journey is to rediscover your divine essence. So what remained was the undefinable sense deep within you that there was a profound purpose underlying all that now surrounded you. A wisdom that was sensed but could not be grasped. It was sensed in part because once there was full conscious awareness of that wisdom, and in part because of that wisdom, that knowingness has never left you. Because that wisdom is a part of your very essence. You simply have denied yourself access to it in order that you would have the opportunity to attain that wisdom of your own volition against all odds. Isn't that something? You know, I tell you every day that I go through this book, I am totally amazed at the plan, at God's plan for our life. It is so intricate. It is so, and it is so divinely perfect. I'm just in awe of it. And everything works to our benefit. Unfortunately, a lot of us get caught up in what's not working. But understand that what's not working is working. Okay? I was listening to a radio show yesterday, and he was talking about having the courage to step outside of the boundaries of what is normal. You know, our society has, we talked about this yesterday, how our society has these rules. You know, they give you the guidelines of how you're supposed to live your life. And every now and then, someone steps outside of the guidelines. And I believe people who are on a spiritual path, especially if it's not conforming to the Baptists and the Catholics and the Episcopalian, the so-called norm, when you're on a spiritual path, and I mean, and you're open to read about someone else's path to their enlightenment and channeled works, or you're into the occult, which we know is just secret teachings, you step outside of that, the tribe that you, which we call society, goes bananas, and they say something is wrong with you, and they label you as a kook. Even your family members will think that you are out of bounds. And he was explaining why that happens. He says because deep inside of them, they know that you may have chosen the right path, and they may be on the wrong path. And there, it's their fear that they may be on the wrong path, and you may have it right, that causes all of the resistance. And isn't it awesome that, you know, the Bible tells us, be a light. Let your light shine before the world. Make your choice boldly and let it shine so that it is a beacon for others to follow. Anyway, I'm tying all this into trusting in your choices. But it's just something to think about. I thought it was awesome that you can, because we don't see that they are afraid. When those attacks come on us, we do not recognize it as fear unless we have become a witness, unless we've grown spiritually. When we first make that step, we feel that it's an attack on us. And we start, some of us may even buy into the fact, what's wrong with me? I just went through that myself about 6 months ago, where I was questioning, what have I done with all this time in my life? I've spent all this time in this spiritual journey, and for what? Because, and here I was comparing where, if I had stayed normal, what I could have accomplished as opposed to what I'm, you know, where I am now. I was comparing myself in the world, but Jesus tells us that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And so now I'm boldly embracing that I'm not of this world, that I'm here to utilize this world to learn that I'm not of it. And that's what I'm trying to awaken you to. And it's your choice to accept it or not. You don't have to beat up on me because this is my path, but you may resonate with it. It says, now that you have begun to unravel the threads of the mystery that you have created, hints of that wisdom surface in your conscious awareness now and then. You leave traces of illumination right there at your very own feet, so that this time you can't possibly miss the clues you may have avoided stumbling over before. And very carefully, you are being guided out of the wilderness in which you presumed yourself to have been abandoned. And you are being nudged and prodded to defy the logic of your mind and to make choices that somehow just feel right. How many of you are in that state where your logical mind is saying, you know, you need to do so and so and so and so, but there's something else that's deeper inside of you that says, no, I think I need to do this. This just feels right. It's in my gut. And, you know, I honestly believe that during these times, we are having that awareness or experiencing that dichotomy even more so now because of what the planet is going through. Many refer to these flashes of illumination as intuition. And as you wean yourself off your addiction to the illusion of the limitations of linear reality, these flashes become more frequent and more consistent. And after some practice in recognizing and responding to these prompts, your own experience shows you that these glimpses into the true nature of what is can be trusted. For the results in doing so speak for themselves. How many of you are paying attention to your intuition and following your intuition? Because what oneness is telling us is that that is the pure essence of your being, that intuition. And only by following that intuition can you begin to trust it because you see the end results. And what I'm finding, even with some of my very close and dear friends, is that they're being pushed into following their intuition. I mean, they're being dragged into following their intuition, and they're kicking and screaming as they're being pushed into it. If you are a light worker and you're not totally reliant on your intuition, trust me, circumstances are going to come up in your life to force you to rely on it. It happened to me. I'm raising my hand here like you can see me. It happened to me. I was forced into, well, you know, force is a strong word, but circumstances were so uncomfortable. I knew that instinctively I was at a crossroads, and I shared that with you yesterday. I was at a crossroads. Either I was going to begin to live my faith or I was going to live in fear. And really and truthfully, those are the only two worlds that exist. Either you live in faith or you live in fear. What's your choice today? One learns to follow one's own inner guidance in preference to that being offered in the guise of wisdom by many who tapped into other sources of information. For the very sense of separation you seek to transcend is reinforced when you offer your power to another being who claims to have psychic powers. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Dr. Reggie is extremely intuitive. I don't like to refer to him as a psychic because I know his spiritual, I know the core of his being is his spiritual connectivity. He is very connected to his intuition, which is his divine essence. He has transcended this world. He doesn't live in this world at all. So when I see this, I understand where they're coming from. What I want you guys to understand is to use discernment when you're seeking advice from those who say they are gifted. And oneness even tells us that we will know if they are or not. Even the Bible tells you, test the spirit. The information that may be provided for you from such sources can only be validated by your own inner knowingness. You have an internal barometer. You're sitting in front of a so-called psychic, and they're telling you stuff, and you say, oh, that doesn't sound right. Nah, I don't think they're very good. How do we know what's good or bad? It's this inner knowingness which tells you. It's a big hint, okay? It's a big clue that the answers are already within you. We choose to ignore that part. We're still in victim consciousness. And Dr. Reggie always says, I am not here to make your choices for you. I can only give you the realm of possibility. I'm only a guidepost. If you ever have a session with him, he is guiding you to how to apply the spiritual principles in your life. Okay? The information provided by one who purports to be able to see what you believe that you cannot, listen to what they're saying, you only believe that you cannot see this for yourself, is only as clear and as accurate as the filter of that being's own consciousness. So how are they living their life? Are they living their life like it's golden? Are they a clear channel? Are they egocentric? Because understand, you know, you have studied now. You've been through oneness, and you know what makes all of us unique is our perception. That's why I catch myself so many times saying, you guys, because I can't speak for you. I can only speak from my perspective. And maybe you've had a similar experience. So some of these psychics are able to peek through the veils of the illusion with varying degrees of accuracy and to report to you what is seen or sensed or even heard. But it is rare that any of this otherworldly visioning is truly wisdom. For what is, and that's with a capital I, what is cannot be tainted by the vantage point of another and is available only to the rare physical beings amongst you who have totally transcended in their own personal journeys the veils of the illusion. And that's why, you know, I'm making a point to really share with you the essence of Dr. Reggie. Because he does this work, and he's helped hundreds of thousands of people. Let me put it this way. He's helped thousands of people. And he will acknowledge that his source is from God, from divinity. But his channel is so pure. I know how he lives his life. So the visions that may be offered to you by others who are at various stages of piercing those veils within their own process are, in a large part, isolated glimpses into the infinite field of possibility. And what has been read and reported is, in all likelihood, one of any number of possible outcomes to a given situation. The choices you make of your own free will would, by definition, alter any such prophecy and render it invalid. You know, I have overheard Dr. Reggie, you know, doing a session, and you can hear people rejecting, even though he's telling them, this is what I see. And he tells them, look, this is just a possibility. But if you choose not to see it, then, you know, that's on you. But I'm letting you know that this possibility is here. It's up to you now. It's on you. So there has to be an agreement. And you have to be open to receive the message, then you have to accept it as true, and then you have to move on. But isn't that the same way that we create? We have to ask for it. We have to believe that we receive it, and then we move on. And we act as though we have it. That is how we manifest. No one can come in and scoop you up and save you except you. So to act upon the guidance offered by another being, regardless of how gifted they may claim to be, is to make a statement vibrationally that valid information is unavailable to you directly. And I'm at this point now, even though Dr. Reggie is very gifted, and I was sharing with him this morning, I said, you know, there was a time I would go to him for everything. But now what's happening is that I'm saying, no, I need to do this. I need to trust my own instincts. And I pray about the things that I'm concerned with. Or I come here and I'm teaching with you and the answer is there. And I am trusting my higher self. I am trusting the divinity within me. If you are tuning into Circles of Prosperity, you've been focused, you have a question. So many people write me and tell me, Cynthia, oh my God, I needed to hear this. This was what was going on in my life right now. They were being led here. And I thank God for every person that downloads an archive or that picks up the phone and calls in or that puts our address into their web browser and tune in to these lessons. I thank God for sending them to us and that we are an instrument for divine energy of God to move through us, to awaken you to trust your higher self, trust that divinity that is within you. Trust it. Trust that God loves you so much that he wants you to be aware. Ultimately, the choices you put into action must be your own choices if they are to yield the level of results you would wish them to. And you know, because you've been studying with us, that makes sense. Why? Because we have to surround ourselves in an energetic vibration that brings about the results that we desire. If we're moving in fear, we've already set up the path for not getting the results that we want. I'm not going to call it failure. Because of the energy. So if you choose to give your power to someone else, know that even though these beings may mean well, their advice is colored by their own perspective and their own issues, which have not vanished simply because they are not presently in physical form. And I skipped a section here, and I apologize for it. Oneness was saying that there are people who say, you know, my guides and my spirits or whatever, that they're getting advice. He said these are disembodied souls. And they're really no better than you are in terms of their development. In fact, you may be more developed than they are. They just don't have a body, and they're giving advice. Where are they in consciousness? What level are they in? So if you choose, and they're saying, if you choose to give your power to them, then know that even though these beings may mean well, their advice is colored by their own perspective and their own issues. Because they may not have resolved things when they had a body. So chances are that they are simply between chapters in their own saga. And in attempting to influence you, they are reinforcing vibrationally the ties and the attachments that may once have been there between you. In this respect, nothing would have changed. The essence of the manipulation and your openness to its influence would have survived. So in seeking the help of these so-called angels, know that they are oftentimes no further along in their spiritual unfoldment than they were at the time they departed the physical world. They are not necessarily all-knowing or all-wise merely by virtue of the fact that they are presently in a non-physical state of being. You wish to afford the same degree of deference to their views and opinions as you would be inclined to were they still here with you in physical form, and make your own choices accordingly. If they were standing in front of you, would you pay any attention to what they were saying? Would you say, you know what, that doesn't resonate with me? Or, you know what, I think you're crazy. You may not actually say that because that's not courteous, but you may walk away and go, okay, that was interesting, thanks. Next. No one is in a position to live your life for you. No one. Regardless of how spiritually elevated they may be. To do so would violate your very purpose in being here. It is unrealistic to expect that your guides will swoop in and rescue you as you peer over some precipice on your journey, symbolic or otherwise. That is not the purpose of their presence. Vibrationally, they are able, however, to just nudge you into finding within your very own depths the knowingness that leads you in the direction of the highest choice. They're only here to give you a push. And guess what? You have to invite them. They can't do it unless you ask for their help. It is in these moments that pose the crucial crossroads of this lifetime that the silence of stepping back from the circumstances at hand best serves you. It is in the clarity of that silent openness on your part that true guidance may be sourced from beyond the recesses of your mind. This guidance does not come in words, but transcends all limitation and is simply there for your knowingness. I have been grasping at how to explain when the information is coming to you through intuition from your higher self, from your divinity. And it's not a spoken word. And it's more than a thought. And oneness defines it as knowingness. There is such clarity when it comes from your divine self, from the divinity within you. There is clarity. There is perfection. If you're in the middle of a mess, and you go into the silence and you ask for guidance, the one quality that I have always recognized when God has answered my prayer is the perfection of the answer. And the way I describe it is everybody wins. Nobody is hurt. There's no bad feelings in it at all. It's just perfect. Isn't that something? Divine perfection. So, you may call this a moment of truth when you have that knowingness, when it's coming from the divine part of you. It is a moment where, faced with the inevitability of taking action, you are able to find that truth within yourself. It is not your cue to send out an SOS and expect magically to be rescued, for that would have defeated the entire purpose of the episode you went to great lengths to arrange for yourself to experience. You see, when we're looking to be rescued, and this takes a shift in our consciousness, doesn't it? That I'm in the middle of a mess, I want somebody to come save me, but the whole purpose of creating the mess was so that I could learn how to survive the mess. so that when another mess comes up, I say, you know what, I can laugh at this. I can walk on water. I can rise above these circumstances. But you can't get there unless you survive a mess. You can't get to that place unless you can survive the mess. But we get caught up in the mess. Don't get caught up in the mess. I am repeating that to you over and over. Don't get caught up in the mess. Another way I say it is, don't pay attention to the physical world. The other way I say it is, that's the effect. That's the result of your creation. That's the result of past thoughts. Okay. Your guides are surely there for you in the ways that really matter, but they will not give you the answers. There's no shortcut in life. It took me a long time to figure that one out. There is no shortcut. You just have to muddle through. Accept the consequences of your choices and move on. I told one friend, I said, you know what? Stuff happens. It's okay. Our problem is that we want to buy real estate in the mess. Why would you want to buy real estate in a swamp and make a commitment to be in the swamp forever? When it's messy, get out as quickly as possible. Look back and say, you know, I'm really glad I'm out of that swamp. Whew! I don't need to go back and relive the error. I survived the error. Are you getting it, what I'm saying here? Am I making myself clear? If not, press 1 on your telephone keypad, because I don't want anybody to walk away from this lesson not understanding that they are making the choices that they're experiencing in their life, that they're choosing to create this. Okay, so what? When you find yourself standing at a crossroads, allow yourself the grace of the unfoldment of the possibilities that will lead you in the direction of the highest choice. The highest choice. You may be in such a mess that there's no perfect way out. But there's always the highest choice. Resist the inclination in these moments of uncertainty to force a decision prematurely, for it is entirely possible that the way is unclear because all the information has not yet been presented. You have entered a period within your transformational journey where radical changes in your life direction are happening. And the purpose of placing yourself in such a maze of circumstance is to develop a reliance on your own ability to source the answers. And by this time, you would have discovered the deference to the guidance of others often leads you deeper and deeper into the state of confusion. How many of you have experienced having a problem and being totally consumed in fear, not knowing which way to go? All you know is, I'm miserable, I'm scared, everything is screwed up. And you keep repeating that script over and over. I'm miserable, I'm scared, and everything is screwed up. I don't know what to do. And we say that so many times. I have no idea what to do. One is just saying, be still and know that I am God. And a lot of times, the situation is evolving to work out in your favor. if you could be still and shift your vibration just slightly so that things can work out in your favor. Trust. What are we saying? Who is it that said that? The way Merlin says, trust in trust and have faith in faith. Listen, oneness says, the clarity that you are seeking when you are presented with a complex series of variables is best attained in the realms that transcend mind. First of all, they're saying, if you are in a mess, don't even attempt to deal with it from the logical mind. Okay, if I do this, if I can only get this, then this will work. Oh, don't wear yourself out. They say the clarity that you seek when you are in a mess is best attained in the realms that transcend mind. You can't depend on the mind, because here one does not feel compelled to take any action one way or the other. But when there is a sense of urgency and a compulsion to choose a given set of options and recognize those conditions as your cue to retreat into the stillness within and to do nothing. When you're panicked, don't make that choice at that point, because that is going to be a decision that you make out of fear. They want you to move into the silence so you can make a decision out of faith, a decision out of knowingness. The answers that you seek do not come from your logical mind. They are sourced when you recognize the wisdom in defying logic. You want to be called the kook when that mess happens. You want to be called crazy when that mess happens. Because then you're coming from the divine self. You're not coming from the world to solve that problem. They are realized when you understand that there is no need to reach out for guidance from others. They are made manifest when you risk trusting that you hold the answers, all of them. Oneness is saying, trust in trust and have faith in faith. That's what oneness is saying. Depend on your inner guidance. Depend on that divinity that is within you. There will be moments of sublime connectedness in the higher stages of the process of your unfoldment where that knowingness is at hand. You will no longer be the seeker in those moments. But there is nothing to be sought. And the feeling of awareness that holds the answers to all possible questions will permeate your whole being. And the fullness of that state, which is experienced in increments, will be realized by many of you. For the process of that awakening, which might have taken untold lifetimes to complete, has been accelerated under the transformational conditions of these times. I'm going to go over a little bit today, not much, because I want to finish this chapter. So if you're listening online, you'll have to download the podcast to hear the end of the lesson. But listen, the opportunity posed by the profound dilemmas that present themselves is to begin to recognize the symbolic significance of those circumstances. In other words, when you are in a mess and life seems difficult and challenging, like I said before, don't get caught up in the mess. What does it symbolize? What does it symbolize? It is an opportunity to source within your own being the experiential evidence that will help you transcend those illusions. It is there for the lesson. It is there for you to exercise and practice the presence of God in your life and to practice how to trust that intuition and how to have faith in that intuition. That's why the mess is there. Not to make you wrong, not to make you feel like you're a failure. If nothing else, it's saying, you are divine. Do you realize how brilliant you are? Do you realize how powerful you are? I'm only putting you through this so that you can become aware of it. And isn't that precious? One that says it's sacred. It's a sacred experience. We look at it as a mess, but oneness is telling us that it's sacred. You will be tested again and again and again as part of the process of liberating yourself from the self-imposed prison of separation. Our mess that we create is to awaken us. How many times and how many ways do they have to say it? I hope you're getting the message. Because the key to that elusive freedom that lies not in the hands of others who may or may not know the way, but rather upon the cliffs of your own uncertainty. Imagine that you're standing on a mountaintop and you're trying, and the only way out is to jump. And you don't know if you will survive jumping. But that's the only way out. One that says you have led yourself out to the edge of that precipice on purpose. And from there, the only step forward is to jump. So my question to you this morning is, do you have the courage to jump and know that all is well, all is in divine order? Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful lesson, knowing that we come from a space and a downward energetic spiral to come here to the earth. We're already programmed energetically with everything that we need to know. And sometimes from that cellular place of development, we forget. Help us to remember who we are and who we are in you. You put the blueprint on us and a stamp of approval before we got these bodies. It's up to us to live in the matrix of love and power and surrendering everything to you. When we're presented with so-called effluvia of problems, there are no problems, there are only solutions. They're all divine. Thank you for helping us to remember that you are in control of everything that's created in the world. And underneath everything that is, you are. And we thank you for that in our bodies, outside of our bodies, in our consciousness, and beyond infinity. You are there because it is your creation in the first place. Help us to remember as we step out into these energy fields of different people and different vibrations that you are the answer, and that still small voice is what we listen to, not necessarily the roaring thunder or the rolling waves, but the stillness and the center of our being is what's important. And in that calm, you transcend all of the noise and all of the mess. And when we forget, you help us to bless our mess. So thank you, Father, for being who you are in us. As we lead the broadcast, we believe it is so, and so it is.
God loves you. Have a wonderful and blessed day today. We'll be here tomorrow.